In this episode of Cubs Out Loud, the guys talk about pride, from its humble beginnings to the explosions of rainbows that it is today. The Cubs discuss what pride has become and where they feel that it may be heading. Also, Taco Bell apps, James Corgan, and the return of the COL Party Line. SCOL 319 starts now. June 28th, 2015. I'm Jeff.
Who's your bear? That's right. I am your bear.
I'm Damon.
Everybody dance now!
That makes me Gary.
Don't hurt nobody with your bad self.
Welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Podcast, Adventure German Lake, episode number 319, and it's raining.
Aww.
Yeah, it's not a bad thing. As long as it doesn't rain too hard that it soaks my carpet again.
Ugh.
And then they have to take apart my king size bed so they can remat the carpet
things.
That would indicate you have a leak?
Yeah, we had a leak. So far, it hasn't happened again. Or you got that. It's been taken care of after a while, but still. I'm concerned they haven't actually done anything to fix it so that I don't have a leak. But in any case, where were we? We were doing this. Mythic Tectus down in Highmall. And we're working on Impregnator Margok tonight. Actually, it's Imperator, but...
Impregnator?
Everybody calls him Impregnator because everybody has a problem saying Imperator or Imperator, something like that. So it's Imperial Emperor sort of thing. Anyways.
Impregnator sounds scarier.
Yeah, we also hate him, so we call him Impregnator instead of Imperator or Imperator. Imperator is actually, I think it's the correct way of saying it. In any case, so we're working on actually finishing all the bosses down. We've gotten Thogar down, so we're 7 of 10 Mythic in Blackrock Foundry. And almost, so we're 6 of 7 Mythic in Highmall. I'm hoping we can get Imperator down tonight. And... then we'll have the cutting edge for that, and then on Tuesday, the next patch drops, and then everything becomes irrelevant.
Lovely.
Or
not, or something.
Yeah. Also, in just over a week, I don't know what I'll be working at.
Huh.
My contract is ending on the 6th. So I got like 2 weeks.
Ugh.
I think. Yes. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. From recording, I should say, about a week left from the release of the show. For my current contract, hopefully I'll have something. I don't know. Problem?
Should you be actively looking or are you actively looking?
Yeah. Here's my plan. This is what I want to do. I want to work at Apple. Period. Flat out. Stay there. I want to be badged. I don't want this whole contract shit. Unfortunately, when your contract ends, you can't come back for at least 3 months. So I have to leave for 3 months. Then I can come back and get it. Plus side is they're hoping to get some more badges so that they... and try to get one for me specifically, or at least that's what my manager said. No promises. I'm not holding him up. If he doesn't get it, you know, it's not his fault. So I'm not going to worry about it. All I'm going to really want to do is get a 3-month contract and then come back and try it again.
So there you go.
Because I like it. And you know what? It kind of gives me the idea that my dad ended up working, essentially, he was a lifer at IBM. So, in some sense, it would be kind of like almost a legacy thing, because I would also be at a computer company doing a completely different type of work, but and just work at Apple for the rest of my life. I'd be happy about that. Because the unlike my last two jobs, which the only reason why the last two jobs I actually left was because I was laid off. They didn't fire me or anything. It was just laid off, saying, you know what? We're going to move all of our support over to India. Goodbye. You know what? We're not going to do mortgage loans anymore. Goodbye. And then it's like the only job I get is a contract job, which means, oh, your contract's in. Goodbye.
Maybe.
That's not a me thing. Seriously, the last two jobs I worked at for 3 years, and then I was laid off. Both of them. Three years. It's not that I can't keep a job. It's after 3 years, they don't have a job for me anymore. And what do I want? I just want a job. I don't want to go looking for a job ever again. I want a job. I want to stay there, get better, maybe move up in the ranks. But just come on. That's all I gotta say. Anyways, I'm babbling. So, yeah. Work. Moving on. Damon, what's going on?
Let's see. Last week, from recording, we wrapped up the men's chorus. Wrapped up our Broadway Our Way concerts. They were very well done, very well attended. People seemed to really love them, blah, blah, blah. It was a lot of fun. Yay for that. Okay, so there's that. I am settling into my apartment, or my house, excuse me. I'm settling into my house nicely. Slowly but surely, I am slowly settling in. It's weird getting used to coming here as opposed to coming to the apartment. It's also weird that I have all this space now. I'm upstairs. The last couple of times we recorded for the Wednesdays, I was downstairs in the office. Now I'm upstairs in our master suite area. Just, you know, I felt it was a little bit, it'll be a little bit easier because you don't need, I don't need to hold my, I don't need to put my laptop on a desk. I can just sort of sit here with my laptop on my lap talking to you guys. So it's kind of weird having two spaces. So yeah, but it's fun. Jim's not here yet. We're working on moving stuff in. We're going to try to do something on Friday, like all my stuff, because I need to be out of my apartment by July 1st. So we're going to get all that shit out. And it's really just the furniture. And there's that. And then there, this weekend of recording, again, was Kink U, which is a, basically a traveling kinky education network. They, depending on the area, they have people locally, and sometimes they bring people in who teach classes on different things, different topics that revolve around the kink community. I didn't attend much of it, unfortunately, due to just it wasn't a good weekend, but I went and enjoyed a pup play class, Pup Play 201, that was taught very well by Sir Justin and his pup Torque, and it was fun. It was good to see people locally getting involved. I think it was an odd weekend because this weekend is Columbus Pride in Columbus, Ohio. It was also Kentuckiana Pride in Louisville. So you probably, you know, we're 2 hours from both of those areas. So people probably went to those areas to celebrate Pride. But that's okay. People came. It was a lot of fun. As far as I could tell, it was well attended. So hopefully things have been going on. So yeah, that was my week and weekend.
Yay. Gary?
So everybody I know is summering. And by that I mean it's picnics, it's camping, it's graduations, it's weddings, it's you name it. Going to the beach. You can tell winter's not here. So I personally went to a wedding yesterday.
Aww.
It was my third cousin, I believe. I never get that right, but it's my dad's cousin's daughter that got married. So it was a very nice wedding. And I appreciated that because the couple that got married are in their early 20s. It was a mix of tradition and new stuff. So it was held in a church. Was a traditional style Presbyterian ceremony. However, the minister or reverend was young, and something comical happened. They got towards the end of the ceremony, and so the bride and groom go down the center aisle, and the organist is playing away, play, and the reverend has to make an announcement, but he can't make an announcement because the organist is playing and it's loud, you can't hear. So he eventually got her attention and told her to stop, which was quite comical. And then he said to the congregation or to the audience, he said, even though we did a dress rehearsal, I forgot to tell her I had to make an announcement, so it's not her fault. Meeting the organist. So I don't know, just little things like that were highly amusing to me. So my grandmother's there. And so she was confused by the, why are we playing this obnoxious new music for the bridal party to enter the reception? And they act very goofy. Which I was kind of like, yeah, if you go to weddings on a regular basis, you see the transition over time of, like, I don't know how else to say it, fads or things that people do.
Yeah.
So I had to explain the photo booth to my whole family's table because none of them had really ever seen it before. It was tough, but, it was really nice. I also, thought I was going to get in trouble yesterday because at the reception, which was held at the clubhouse of a golf course, there was a very, very handsome looking waiter as part of the catering staff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I saw your post about that.
Yeah, my imagination was highly active yesterday for the reception.
No.
Oh, yes. Yes. The picture doesn't do justice. I was going to try to get more pics, then I was like, this is just ridiculous because I'm going to get caught. But, yeah, he had a nice, like, crew cut, and he's tan, and he's a blonde, hairy motherfucker, and...
Uh-oh. Now I have to go to your Facebook page.
And
I don't think I saw the picture.
Well, the picture's in the comment thread. So if you see the one where it says hashtag dirty old man, when you look at the comments, I posted a picture. And then all these people are chiming in about that. But anyways, it was
quite entertaining.
It was good. Like, trust me, more than once I was like, you know, a break in the bathroom would be really great.
Oh, God.
That's what I mean by imagination. But anyways, so no, it was really nice. It was a more formal affair, but it like had some nice other elements to it. And also very interestingly, the bride.
Oh, wow.
The bride and groom both are in Pittsburgh, but they had the wedding up here in Erie because that's where the families are for the most part. But the interesting thing is that the bride, I don't know who she works for, but she works in mathematics.
Huh.
So when you arrived, your name placard that went to your table had your name, and then it had an equation, like a mathematical equation, and you matched the mathematical equation to the table, meaning like you went to the table that had the same matching symbols, basically.
Oh, well, thank God for that.
I know, right?
It's just the equation that you were matching that. Like,
yeah. Oh, my God.
Equation.
Oh, my God. If it was like.
That would be awesome.
figure out your number, and that is your table. Solve for X, and that is your table.
Yeah, initially that's what I thought it was, and ours was really simple. It was a factorial. It was just 3! And I'm like, okay. And it's funny because all my family was like, oh, we're at table 31. And I'm like, no, it's not a 1. It's an exclamation point. But anyways.
It's 3!
So we – right. So we – then when you get to the table, every table, when you find your table, it has the symbol, the equation. And then below it, Emma, who is actually my third cousin, she's the mathematician. She actually wrote out an explanation as to why that was picked. She doesn't explain the equation, but like in ours, she said, you know, a factorial over 3 is actually 6, and 6 happens to be the month that we got married in. Like, so everything had a significance.
Oh, that's neat.
That is really
neat. I would have so much fun. I'd be like going to every table reading each of those cards.
I would too. That's the worst part. Like,
and always try to try to figure out the answers to the equation.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I was proud of her that it was very geeky. So
yeah.
But she was, you know, dressed traditionally, you know, in a beautiful white gown, and you know, it was a beautiful mix of how like you have the semi high pomp and circumstance of the church kind of thing mixed with like modern day takes on things. So it was really, really nice, and I'm looking forward to seeing. They had like a video production company that was there that was like videotaping the dances and the toasts and taking pictures all over the place. And they had a decent DJ, and my grandmother kept complaining that the music was too loud. And well, you know.
Well, it's a wedding. The music is always too loud.
Yeah, basically. So,
well, too loud, quote unquote. Not really. It's loud how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, it's a little high on volume. The thing I kept thinking is it's a shame they put him in the corner. Well, that he chose that corner. I get it because it was visual, but I'm like, yeah, for where the dance floor was, if you had wedged yourself in the other corner and put the speakers, the sound would have traveled across the dance floor instead of across the entire reception area.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody who's in the first 6 tables next to the dance floor is getting blasted.
Hmm.
So, and because your tables are pre-picked, you don't have a choice.
Yeah,
to be away from the speaker. So, but the food was really good. I don't know. It was really, really nice, and the weather worked out, and so I was happy to attend another wedding. I don't know how many I've attended in my lifetime, but it's been at least a good, probably 24 by now. So,
weddings.
But more importantly than that, no offense, Emma and Brandon. Not that you'll ever listen to this podcast. I went to the movies this week.
Mm-hmm. Uh-oh.
I went late Thursday night and saw the first showing? No, second time slot showing of the new Pixar movie, Inside Out.
Ooh.
I was too lazy to go see it.
It is probably one
it
of
looks
my
so top, good.
It's probably one of my top 5 like all-time Pixar movies.
Cool.
Lewis Black is anger. That's like perfect.
it's incredible visualization of things that we don't fully understand or know. For those that aren't aware of the movie yet, basically there are 5 emotional states that exist inside the mind of 11-year-old by the name of Riley. Her family moves from Minnesota to San Francisco, and it's the turmoil of upending your life and being in a new place and trying to make sense of that. And her 5 emotions, because she hasn't come to puberty yet, are all individually stylized. And they have some great voice work that's in it. But it goes beyond that. It talks about abstract concepts. It talks about deep memory, lost memory, like faded memory. It's crazy. I was really, really surprised by it. Also, in classic Pixar fashion, you should take handkerchiefs, because there were 2 points that got me. Anybody who's a crier, just be prepared. There was some really kind of cool stuff about it, and I really highly, highly, highly recommend that people go see it. I did go see it in 3D. I made that decision because it was shot for 3D.
Well, it's also a animation, and animations work better in 3D than.
They do, but there's something – I haven't figured this out yet, and I would like to know if scientifically this can be proven via a study. I'm beginning to wonder if when you go to see a 3D movie, you lack recognition of the 3D perspective after maybe about a half an hour, because it becomes the norm. And your eyes aren't really differentiating between 3D and 2D anymore. It's just what you're watching. Because I felt yet again, like other movies that I've watched, the first half hour and maybe the last half hour, I got an impression of 3D, saw some things, but then outside of that, I just didn't really see the 3D. And I'm not going to throw a tomato at Pixar and say, how dare you not make 3D throughout the whole film? Because I don't think that's what happened. I'm beginning to wonder if, like, there's really seriously a visual condition that you just, you kind of can't tell after a certain point.
Well, and in some sense, when you think about it, like in life, you don't really necessarily realize the 3D until you need it.
True.
So, like right now, I could be staring in the direction of Sonnet's new crate, which I'm trying to still get her to use. But it's still kind of a flat picture until I go up and touch it or reach out my hand to touch it. In some sense. And it's 3D through the entire thing, but you don't necessarily need 3D for anything per se. If that makes any sense whatsoever. Besides the fact that it's so much easier in the animation, is because they're pretty much just modeled in 3D and it's just in a 3D space when they create it. So again, so they didn't really have to do much to make it necessarily 3D, just how they printed it that way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's, things that make it very obvious that it's 3D, and other times it's not. So I don't know if there's something on the technology-wise that they change a part of a scene, you know what I mean, to really make it appear that way. It's difficult to tell, but anyways, so whether you want to see it in 3D or not see it in, or see it in 2D or whatever standard definition, definitely I would say go see it. Yeah, I'm really proud and happy of them. The guy that is the director of this did Up and WALL-E.
Also two great Pixar movies.
Well, and it's interesting because I've already watched some like film critic review talking points about it, and they all say that like the director definitely kind of has a certain style about what he wants to present. It's thought-provoking yet entertaining at the same time, and it's kind of, there's a big question mark on how young a child will be to enjoy the film, and then like, you know what I mean? Like, and then they just, like, they're too young. They won't get it. They won't understand it. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll be curious to see how it plays itself out. But it's really, really good. In fact, I'm debating on going back and seeing it again on the big screen. I really liked it. And I think it well represents context of things that we don't really have an understanding of. Like, they really put into play some things. Like, if you remember when you were young and you couldn't understand why you would like get upset really easy or get sad, or like sometimes you felt like you didn't have control of your own self, it's, they kind of sort of explain that a little bit. It's, I don't know, it's very interesting. And I'm also proud of the fact that at the end of the movie, they technically have an opportunity to continue on if they want to. I don't know if they're going to do the Toy Story track where they're going to keep making other films in the line. But the reality is that what they show actually towards the end, this isn't a spoiler, is that everything that lives, quote unquote, has these emotional states inside of them. So like dogs have them, cats have them, like, you know, other people do, obviously. Like, it's really kind of comical because that's one of the things you get to see a perspective of, is how they all behave. So, yeah. I recommend it.
Yay. It's definitely a good thing.
Yep.
And with that, let's get into this. What's going on over in Facebook, Gary?
We have one new like.
Yay!
I'm going to apologize now because I'm pretty sure I'm going to mess up the name. the name of the individual that liked us, their profile name that they put on Facebook is Anand Yuki, I believe.
Hmm.
My guess is going to be that they're an international fan.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And welcome.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
And now this. Urban Dictionary with Gary.
So to tie into the theme of summer, I found this this word combination and definition on Urban Dictionary, and it just kind of cracked me up. I realize some people might not care for it. It's called ketchup drool, and it's defined as the thin liquid that drips from the ketchup bottle before the thick sauce reaches the opening. So I think what they're describing is when you go to pour ketchup out, if your ketchup has sat for I don't know how long,
mm-hmm.
it slightly separates.
Yeah.
So you have a slightly clearish, like maybe tinted red liquid, or in this case, ooze or whatever you want to call it, that comes out first. Which
ew, gross.
I know. So.
Oh. I hate that drool.
So the example is, don't pour the ketchup bottle over your fries until all the ketchup drool has cleared.
Oh.
or what you can do is shake.
Right, right.
You know.
That was my thought. I was like, just shake the fucking bottle.
Shake it. Shake it like a Polaroid picture. I mean,
Yeah, it kind of cracked me up. I was like, really? We have to define this? And then like, and not necessarily put in context how to solve a situation like that?
Well, it's really easy. It's an easy solve, as we've said. But people just don't think about it. I know I don't. Because sometimes you don't expect it. Like, sometimes it's just sort of hiding. You know, you turn the ketchup bottle over and there's that little drool, and then there's the actual ketchup, and it's like, oh, gross.
Okay, well, that brings up a good point. I'm going to have a little rant for a moment.
Uh-oh.
I am a born-bred fanatic for Heinz ketchup.
Mm-hmm.
Because I live 2 hours from the company, from the plant in Pittsburgh. So it's just a thing. Like, anywhere over here on this part of the East Coast, it's Heinz ketchup. And if it isn't Heinz ketchup, then fuck you, it's not ketchup. But anyways, so I kid, kind of. But here's the thing is, Heinz a number of years ago, at least for like commercial hospitality retail, changed their bottles and they made them red plastic.
Mm.
Kind of like how French's mustard comes in a yellow curvy bottle. Like,
mm-hmm.
And the complaint I have about this is you can't tell how much is inside the bottle.
True.
What it looks like.
True.
And so that's kind of where this ketchup drool thing is an issue for me, because it's like, yeah, but you don't know if there's ketchup drool if you can't see inside the fucking bottle.
Yeah.
Because it's red, because it used to be in restaurants, you could always see how much ketchup was in a bottle. And then, you know, at the end of shift or whatever, the wait staff would come around, take all the ketchup bottles and refill them and put them back. So they would look fresh and new. That was the concept. And then they changed it. So now you can never tell how much fucking ketchup's in a bottle. And I'm like, really? Anyways, so I think ketchup drool is more prevalent now because you can't see what's in the bottle. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
That's too true.
That's, yeah. So, ketchup drool. Get that drool out.
Welcome to July, or almost July. In 2 days. So, sometimes I forget. Is it June or is it July? That is Pride Month.
June.
So we're wrapping it up. So we're getting this right in on time. We're talking about Pride. I know I feel like we need like some sort of like dancey Pride music playing, which I don't have.
Whoop, whoop.
Pride, a deeper love.
Dang it, girl.
Now,
technically,
not right now.
when we're releasing this episode, this is the
last Sunday in June.
44th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots.
Ooh.
Oh.
Timing.
Timing.
44th, 46th. Let me think. I got to do math.
Math is hard.
It is when I'm not trying to think about it. Yeah, because it was June 28th, 1969. So it's not 50 years yet, but we're coming close.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's 46 years. Last year was 45. So for those of you that are not familiar or don't necessarily know or understand, one of the things I wanted to mention about was that it's kind of been coming up a little bit as a theme on Facebook, I noticed, with the other things that have been happening in our nation and the world, with Ferguson and some other stuff, Baltimore and New York and that. There's been, you know, some folks basically saying, remember that Pride started as a riot. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a parade. It wasn't go-go boys on floats. It wasn't Bud Light promoting in your face or Chipotle giving you free burritos. Long before the commercialization, it was about the fact that police raided a gay bar that was run by the mafia in New York City. And it was notably the first time when the community kind of took a stance and was like, no more. Like, we've been pushed around and treated, you know, as this subservient kind of, you know, class of people. And they just kind of like said, we're done. We've had enough of it. Now, there's a theory, but I don't think it's technically proven, that at the time the Stonewall Riots took place, part of the anger that was exhibited was due to the fact that Judy Garland had just died.
Hmm.
And so in a lot of ways, the gay community was mourning. And if there's anything that you know, you don't piss off people when they're in a bad emotional state.
True.
Mm-hmm. So basically, the community that was collected at the time at the bar was made up of drag queens, those that were transgendered, as well as some prostitutes and homeless youth. And basically, when they raided the bar, the police got pushback. And it turned into multiple days of fighting with the police and, you know, kind of standing their ground. And it became a mobilization effort that by 1 year later, the first gay pride march took place in New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, I think, and also Chicago. Like, yeah. We just kind of got around. And it, I think it's hard for especially for the youth to understand because there was no such thing as the internet. So there was, like, no way to kind of know live what was happening. It was all, like, rumor or passed along or, at that time, possibly in some very small, limited publications that were very community-based.
Yeah.
Talking about what was happening. So the only reason I bring it up is that I think it's important that we all just kind of keep in perspective where we are. Like, it's no different than, say, July 4th that's coming up. Well, July 4th is Independence Day, and yeah, it's about fireworks and hot dogs and hamburgers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But the reality is that, you know, we fought for our independence and people lost their lives so that we could live in the country that we live in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's very interesting.
Go ahead.
When you put in, you have to put things in that perspective. And I think a lot of people have forgotten that or don't remember that. And I'm talking about Pride as well as, you know, Independence Day and Memorial Day, you know, Veterans Day, those kind of things. You know, these are, you know, there are reasons for these holidays and these events. And sometimes they're not the happy, hey, you know, go lucky things that we do now. They weren't. They started differently.
Right. And for those that aren't necessarily aware, the reason why we talk about Stonewall as an event is because it took place at the bar, which was called the Stonewall Inn. Mm-hmm. It's still in existence in New York today. I saw recently a post on Facebook that there's interest in making it a historical landmark.
Hmm.
Which I think would be really huge if it could be turned into a historical landmark, because then it gets all these protections and, you know, specifications.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of, and then the current owners of it and future owners can only do certain things to it and basically preserve it as a landmark type deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically, the history says that in 66, the mafia invested a couple thousand dollars into it, turned it from a heterosexual nightclub into a gay bar. And basically, the police would come by and collect envelopes of cash as a payoff because the Stonewall Inn had no liquor license.
Huh.
So, but interestingly, the mafia had no issue with the gay community, you know, with their patrons, because it was a way to make money.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but that's kind of the way it's always been. In a lot of cities, I think there were individuals who operated businesses that the community benefited from. And it wasn't just purely a self-serving kind of community, meaning like it was gay-owned and operated. I think for many, many, many years or decades, a lot of operational, you know, locations, bars, clubs, you name it, they were not necessarily owned by gay individuals. Over time, I think that's definitely changed. I think the majority of them now are owned by LGBT community members, but that was not always the case. So, yeah, so just keep that in mind. You know, you see the pride colors. I'm not going to get into it, but the flag originally had seven colors. It was brought down to six. Each color does represent something. and that's even true of, like, the Bear Pride flag as well.
Yeah, the Bear Pride flag was is – oh, fuck. Wasn't it every – it's every hair color, right? Or maybe I'm thinking differently. Anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say it's pretty much representative of the different hues of hair.
And the Gay Pride flag was originally eight colors.
I thought it was seven. Nope. No, I guess you're right. I think it was eight.
As I'm, thank you, Wikipedia. it was hot pink, which meant sexuality. Red, which meant life. Orange for healing. Yellow for sunlight. Green for nature. Turquoise for music and art. Indigo blue for serenity and harmony, and violet for spirit.
Yeah, and the pink and the turquoise was what was dropped.
Mm-hmm.
The turquoise is the one I think that ended up, honestly, it just got dropped because the fabric was so expensive.
The hot pink was removed due to fabric unavailability, and yeah, I don't know about the indigo. I can't quite figure out. Not the indigo, but the turquoise. I can't remember why it was dropped. Let's look at Wikipedia. La, la, la.
But yeah, and those little factoids I think are interesting because today, anything with a rainbow on it, people in the community kind of claim.
Yep.
Which is not always necessarily fair, but...
I will... One of my picks later is going to discuss that very topic. So yeah, my pick that I just added recently. but no, it's I've often attributed the pride flag with, you know, gay pride. I always have. It's just one of those things that has often made sense to me. It's weird to think of it that way, but that's sort of one of the main symbols that I automatically attribute to. And to the point where when I was a little gay and wasn't really, you know, quote unquote out yet, I would pick up things that were rainbow related and hold on to them for the sake of potentially using them as clandestine symbols. If I were ever out and about and wanted to show pride without coming out, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. It was just my little ways of, you know, just putting it out there without blatantly putting it out there.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, I know that I did that when I was in college and I came out. Like, everything that had a rainbow on it, basically, I was claiming as some sort of, like, pride representation. And I'm curious about how that's changed over the years. I find less and less that there's a need or a desire to distinguish yourself that way.
Well, I kind of agree with that. One of the things I've been noticing, and it's so funny, you know, obviously it's Pride Month right now. So on the bus to work, my new route, we've passed by this house or this townhouse, and it happens to be, you know, has a Pride flag in the front, you know, hanging there kind of thing. And I was like, oh, that's kind of nice. And it just, it stood out to me. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I know that they're obviously gay, lesbian, are supporters in some way, shape, or form, which is great to know. But it just, it felt good to see it. And I, the other day, we were driving down I-75, and I looked out the window, and I happened to see just randomly some, you know, fit, you know, some house just sitting there with the Pride flag, and I just happened to see it. And it's just one of those things that you just happen to see, but you're not seeing it all over the place. Yeah, the bars downtown hang their rainbow flags for Pride, and then once it's over, they put them away. Most of them do. Some keep them up all year, you know, but it's just one of those, like, it was good and odd to me at the same time, because it's like, oh, I've not, considering it's now, you know, the 21st, our Pride is the 27th, our festival and parade is on the 27th, it just seemed kind of odd that I'm only kind of now seeing them, whereas you would think, you know, potentially I would see them more often because, oh, it's Pride Month and people are going to be putting me out there. Granted, I'm also not in the areas that I normally am. If I were in Clifton, I would probably see a few more. I know there's a house in Clifton area that always has like this big, you know, display for Pride.
Yeah, I think it's just a matter of who you are as a person. Like Tom had said in our Father's Day episode about how they knew an older couple who, like, just generationally, they're kind of like, you know, did you really have to adopt kids? And by that, just simply saying, like, there are different generations. I know that there were prior generations that would not really poo-poo, but they would avoid, like, the rainbow kind of thing and, you know, just kind of quietly live their lives. And then I think we're part of that generation that was more radical about, you know, patches and necklaces and stickers and, you know, bumper stickers and whatever. And I think it's kind of ebbed again that, you know, more and more, I think it's, for lack of a better reference, I think it's more commercialized.
Yeah.
Like when I was at Pittsburgh Pride earlier this month, it really kind of bothered me, but not made me angry, but just kind of, I don't know, rubbed me the wrong way to see all these individuals running around selling anything that had a rainbow on it.
Uh-huh.
So they're like walking against the parade on the periphery with carts full of like rainbow lays and beads and hats and flags and, you know what I mean? And they're like, yeah, get your rainbow pride stuff here. And I'm looking at them and I'm like, no offense, sweetheart. You are just totally monopolizing this moment to make a buck.
Yeah. And it was during the, okay. I don't know how I'm on the fence on that. Sorry. Like I get it. Like, I can understand how it kind of is, quote unquote, commercializing it. But at the same time, when the fuck else are you going to sell this shit? You know, like, you know, and yeah, maybe I would feel OK. Let me put it in perspective. I would feel weird buying it from some random person that just happened to be walking around selling Pride. It's, to me, it's like the, you know, here in Cincinnati, we have the Reds and, you know, there's usually the Reds and the Bengals and all that stuff. And you see people set up on the corners, especially near the ballpark, selling anything with Reds on it, anything, you know, and obviously like peanuts and waters and all that shit. They're selling it and they're like there and they're doing it. And it's like, okay, that's great and all, but how do I know you're an official vendor for the Reds? Is this a real Reds t-shirt or is this just something that you spent like $5 at, you know, Staples and got some screen prints and made some Red shirts and, you know, I'm getting this cheap ass crap, you know, for whatever, you know, but I often feel that way about like the Pride vendors. Cause sometimes I'm going, well, I don't know if you're a real, you know, vendor for Pride or if you're just taking advantage of the fact that it's, you know, Pride here and selling the shit. I would rather, if I needed it, get my shit at the Pride Festival or the gay bookstore or the art festival itself. I would have gotten it last year if I wanted something new, or if I would have held on to it for a year, or if I, you know, happen to misplace it, go and get it at the festival, as opposed to trying to buy it from someone that's kind of walking around selling their wares. But if you're taking advantage of the situation, you know, I don't know. It kind of makes sense. You're not going to be selling this anywhere else, or any time of the year, really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I am mixed about it. I'm all about, you know, free commerce, and you have a right to, you know, make a buck and all that. But there's a part of me, I don't know, I guess maybe I'm a little bit old school. I'm just kind of rubbed wrong by it, because yeah. I feel like the individuals that are selling it are just doing it to literally make a buck, not because they care.
Yeah, and that could be it.
Like, and I'll relate this in a parallel way. Like, I don't care for going to any events where I feel like the person is just there to make a dollar. So let's say I go to a bear run and there happens to be a vendor there, and I quickly pick up on the fact that they really aren't a member of the bear community, quote unquote. And by that, I mean, like, they don't immerse themselves. They're not involved in things. Do you know what I mean? And they're just there to sell something.
Mm-hmm.
That is another example of how it gets under my skin. You know, I don't know. There's just kind of a. This is the only thing that comes to mind. If I went to, like, the Pan Asian American Festival and decided to sell stuff,
yeah,
and I have no relation to that community, that's the analogy I'm trying to draw. Like, I'm not saying that you have to limit vendors and businesses, that they have to be a part of the community, but it just feels unauthentic, I guess.
I get you. I can get that. I can understand that. It kind of makes sense. I can get what you mean. I get what you mean there. But, you know, whatever. It's hard to say. I think my usual problem often with things like that is that it's usually oversaturated. You know, you can literally, like I mentioned the Red Games, for example, you can literally, from Fountain Square down to the stadium, which is maybe 5 or 6 blocks, you could probably find a vendor at just about every corner down to the stadium selling something. Whether they're selling water, there's someone selling tickets, there's someone selling shirts and flags and, you know, hats and beanies and all this shit. You can find them. You can go down the way. That just seems like a lot. And I feel that way sometimes about Pride, is sometimes that's just a little too much. And I don't know if you can necessarily control it. If you can, then control it. Because, you know, like you said, like, I don't want the people walking against the grain of the Pride Festival, you know, route or Pride Parade route, trying to sell their flashing rainbow, you know, Pride flag or their batons or their beads just to get a buck. I would rather have, you know, a few vendors here and there kind of situated in areas where they could get the most, you know, out of people, get the most people, you know, kind of there, or if you're going to walk around, have one or two just sort of walking around, you know.
You just don't like how many people there are.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's just too much. Like, it just can get too much.
Here's the thing, though, is when people, they're selling these things, they're selling them for a reason, to make money. I don't even if they're like, yeah, we're really proud of it, we've got these beads, we want to sell them to people. The key word there is we want to sell them to people. So they're going to, if the people don't necessarily come to them, they're going to go to them. And it might mean that there's a lot of people. It is a business. And some of these prides, the committees or something have to get a lot of money to put them on, just to have the space to be able to you know, any of the pride parades they need to be able to block off and everything. It costs a lot of money. So that's why there's a lot of things that, like, if you've ever, you should go to Minneapolis Pride. I don't know how it is lately, but it's like the third or fourth largest pride in the country. Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Minnesota.
And it's a great time. Things are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And there's lots of vendors there.
Yeah.
And the big thing is just to say, hey, we're here, we're queer, and here's the businesses you can spend your money at because we're in support of you.
Yeah.
And that's so my other... it is still kind of financial. It has a good message in the background.
Yeah.
You know, about pride and everything. And it also kind of gives us an idea of who should we support.
Yeah.
Because, but it ends up still being, how do we support them? With our pocketbook.
Yeah. And that also brings up another weird thing. I have a love-hate relationship with regards to Pride. It's Pride. You're going to get a lot of people. You're going to get a lot of people downtown, getting a lot of people in your area going out and spending money, you know, whatever, what have you. Just because it's Pride doesn't mean you get to jack up your prices. You know, how to put this gently. I am not your cash cow. You know, I'm very happy to spend my money on gay-owned and gay-supportive businesses. I'm very happy to do that. I love, you know, if I can. Mm-hmm. But just because I'm gay doesn't mean you have a right to use my potentially disposable income to pad your pockets.
You know they had to pay for that booth, right?
I get that.
And it didn't come cheap.
I get that. I totally
get that. They had to make sure that was also a place that was manned. They also needed to make sure had everything they needed for the booth. I mean, I can understand where you're coming from. Here is, I want to buy your stuff at the price that I would get if you weren't here.
Yeah.
But when you're there, it's going to cost them and they're going to recoup that cost. So here's what you do. You don't buy them there. Use it as kind of a shopping center. You know, it's kind of like going to Target, browsing around, being like, ooh, I need that. Oh, it's cheaper on Amazon.
Mm.
So I'm going to order on Amazon for my phone and not actually purchase it here.
And that's, you know, that's sort of where, like I said, that's sort of where I want. I don't like the idea of it going, people going too far. There's a difference between, like, what you said, like, we need to, you know, recoup the cost of having it here, blah, 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 blah. I get that. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between we're trying to recoup the cost and we're trying to exploit you.
Yeah, but you know, you want that drink here, you're going to have to pay for it here.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice thing about the last time I was at Minneapolis Pride, you couldn't buy anything, or at least food, with money. You had to purchase tickets.
Yeah.
So really all the primary cost was going to the Pride Committee for that. So went there, and then basically in order people get reimbursed for whatever was purchased by them, they turned in their tickets and they got a certain amount of cash based off of the tickets. But it's still a jacked up price because blah, blah, blah. Basically, you're paying not just for them to be there. You're also paying for the Pride Committee at all as well. I feel your pain. Don't get me wrong. Not all of us are able to make those impulse buys to buy stuff at Pride. But there's a reason why anything is jacked up. And the thing is, this isn't just Pride. This is any place. You go to a convention, any sort of convention, prices are going to be a little bit higher.
I understand that, and I agree.
So basically, they're not just jacking up the prices like, oh, we're going here. Let's jack up our prices. There's a reason why it's going up, not just sometimes. Because they're trying to make more money. Plus, sometimes. Impulse buys, man. They want it there. They want it then. They'll pay what they need pay to get it. So they're gonna be like, well, if you're willing to pay for it, there you go. If you're not willing to pay for it, fine. That means I'm not losing out on anything. Sure, you may order it from us online or some other method, but we're still going to get that money. It is. There is part of it is about making a buck. Also, part of it is about running the business and being there so that you will then purchase the item in one way, shape, or form.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a no-win situation from the perspective of the consumer that you feel like you're being taken, quote unquote. I don't know. I mean, a weird parallel, I guess, for me is like when you go to a large event and they charge you more for something. Like last night, we're on their way back from the wedding reception, and my dad mentions that my cousin, well, my second cousin, he says to my dad that he went somewhere and they were charging $7.50 for a hot dog.
Wow.
Right. And the thing is that it's a specific brand of hot dogs that are made here in my, you know, in my hometown. And so they're very well known here. And that's the part that was like, you know, basically driving my cousin crazy is, you know, $7.50 for a fucking hot dog. Like, you know, and I told my dad, I said, yeah, for four times that I could have bought a whole case of like 100 hot dogs.
Yeah.
Pop over like, to Costco or Sam's Club and get a case of hot dogs.
So, and I was saying to dad, I said, that's what kind of gets under my skin is, you know, you go to like a civic center, a convention center, a street festival, you name it, all these big events, the ballpark, you know, the hockey rink, whatever, and concessions and, you know, street fare and all that stuff. It's expensive, period. Let alone who's the one that's operating the business and what their motivation is. It's just, it's kind of crazy. You know, it's like, oh, $10 for a beer? Really? Which is kind of the way I feel a little bit like, you know, when I go to Pride and I see, luckily, I think those that are part of the community are much more realistic in general. From my experience, they're much more realistic about the pricing. I'm not saying that they're not price gouging because it is Pride, but at the same time, I mean, there's a lesbian couple that has a booth every single year that's there. And that's what they do. They go around to Pride festivals and sell T-shirts, hats, handkerchiefs, beads, necklaces, bumper stickers, window decals, you name it. They pretty much have everything. And I kind of gave them a what for last year because I showed up and I wanted a Bear Pride flag. And granted, it's not a nicer one. It's the more simple screen pressed polyester as opposed to like one that's stitched and put together. But I said, you know, do they have any left? And she's like, well, we had like four or five and they were all out already. And I looked at her and I was like, really? You only brought four or five? And she kind of looked at me and I was like, it would be helpful if you'd bring more stuff. And she just kind of looked at me and I was like, you guys have been coming to this Pride for like, what, 5 years now doing the same festival? And I realize you have a large variety of things, but you don't have much that's Bear Pride specific. And if you sell out of a flag every single year, I would think you'd keep upping the inventory year after year after year until you quit selling it out. Like, and the thing is, I vended, and that's why I was really getting pissed at her because I was like, really? Like, I could have bought like four or five of the fucking things off you, but you don't have any. So, and notably, I did not stop at their booth this year.
Huh.
I don't think it was because I was mad about what happened last year. I walked past it, but I was with somebody who was visiting from another city, and I was specifically like trying to see all of the booths. So when I did like the three laps of the whole festival with all like 100 booths or 150 booths or however many there was a lot. There was always a crowd, and I just wasn't in the mood to like try to like, you know, elbow in to see what they had and that kind of crap. And after a couple of years of feeling burned a little bit, I was like, forget it. Now, notably, last year I bought a bunch of window decals and some bumper stickers and that, and I got them from a booth that was not that particular booth. And I don't remember seeing this other booth this year because I think I would have stopped. They were younger kids, but they had a lot of really reasonable items. But notably, they had just pretty much Gay Pride, Leather Pride, and Bear Pride, and that was it. Like, they didn't have a lot of other stuff like bisexual, transgendered, ally, you know, all, they didn't have like the full gamut of all the different Pride setups for stickers and things. And I remember I just bought like, I think I bought pretty much all like the window decals and different stuff that they had, so I could give them away, you know, like as part of gift packs or different stuff like that. So, wow, we totally went off on a tangent.
Exploitation at Pride. Exposé on Clubs Out Loud. But I guess to maybe rein it back in, what was I going to say? Pride, I'm really looking for, I am always looking forward to the festival every year. I try to go every year in some way, shape, or form. The past few years, I've been obviously there because I've either sung with the men's chorus or helped my leather group at their booth. We have always have a booth at Pride. We've had a booth for several years now. So I'm almost always there in some way, shape, or form. I will own, however, on the flip side of that, that I don't really do Pride. And I if what I mean is I, you know, because I work at a booth usually and I'm usually singing in the festival, I sometimes march in the parade. I don't always. I usually don't go to the booths individually. I will walk around like a couple of times like you did, and that's really it. I don't sign up for things. I don't, you know, look at the, you know, merchandise. So I don't always buy something. Sometimes I do, but it always depends on me. So it always, I don't get as wrapped into it as I used to when it was smaller. When Pride was smaller and it was over in Northside, there was so many booths that you can go to, and it was around a circle, and it was really easy to kind of, you know, walk around and stop for a little while and look at, you know, what someone's offering or talk with someone about what they're there for and blah, blah, blah. Pride now has gotten so big that it would be impossible. But not impossible. It could be nearly impossible to visit, look at, see, interact with every booth there. It just seems like it would be a hurdle, a challenge to do.
Depends on how big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing I was explaining recently. Like, Pride here in Erie, it's a little affair. It's not very big. You know, it's a small city kind of situation. And I refer to it as a town more than a city. But I mean, it's a different setup. I mean, I go to Pittsburgh and it's very different. And notably, Pittsburgh also changed a lot, probably about maybe it was 7 years ago. This organization came about called the Delta Foundation, and they took over Pride, moved it from one place in the city to another place. Now they like block off, I don't know, it's like 5 blocks of downtown for the festival, for the Pride in the Streets, like dance and blah, blah. You know, I mean, it's like it's a multi-day affair. Now it's a week-long thing. I mean, it's definitely a lot bigger and got a lot more people coming to it, but it's also very commercialized. I mean, you can't go anywhere without seeing products being advertised and promoted and that kind of stuff. And also, they had a big blow-up this year. They booked Iggy Azalea as their headliner.
Oh, wow.
For the entertainment, yeah, for Saturday night's Pride Dancing in the Street, and that totally like blew up in their face because the LGBT community basically outcried and was like, why in the hell would you book this entertainer who notably has racist and homophobic content? Like, and so a bunch of community organizations basically told Delta Foundation, we are not like participating, period.
Wow.
Like, you can go pound salt over that decision. Wow. And in the end, the Monday before, Iggy Azalea pulled out. Now, mind you, she had already canceled her entire fall tour the week before that.
Huh.
So the whole Pittsburgh gay community was basically like, well, what the hell's going to happen? Like, is she pulling out, or, you know, is she coming or is she not? And so, like, and then on that Monday, she announced that she was canceling and never meant any, like, strife within the community and blah, blah, blah. And then Delta Foundation released a statement saying, you know, that they were in pursuit of another entertainer. And very interestingly, they got Nick Jonas.
Huh.
And they announced that like on within 24 hours, I think, which says to me they were probably already on the lookout for a backup entertainer based on all the negative like publicity and flack that they were getting. But, you know, it was also shining another spotlight on that. And I keep telling people, I was like, I don't hate Delta Foundation, but notably, they're not well liked. A lot of local community based groups don't feel that they're well represented. They feel like it's, you know, people who make six figures and above are on the board. And it's not really well representing all the facets of the, you know, LGBTQ.
You know, that's been the some controversy here as well in regards to some of that stuff. So we'll since we're talking about like prides and local areas and whatnot, Cincinnati Pride used to be in Northside, which was when I moved here in 2002 was considered the gay neighborhood. It was the neighborhood where all the gays lived and the pride was there and blah, blah, blah. And there are a few bars there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, how long ago? Maybe I want to say 5 years ago, maybe more. Pride was taken over by the Cincinnati Gay Chamber of Commerce. There are many people on that board, blah, blah, blah. It was decided to move it from Northside to downtown, and the people in Northside had a fit. The LGBT Center, which is now closed, was in Northside, and it was this whole big to-do about the fact that why are we taking it out of the hell? Notably, Pride used to be downtown, and it was moved to Northside because of the city, like, being really negative about gay, you know, gay lifestyle, blah, blah, blah. So moving it back downtown seemed to be an accomplishment because downtown is the city and, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's we want to be out there. We want to be proud. We don't want to have it in this little niche off the side of off city kind of thing. We wanted it in downtown. It has now gotten so large, like I said, that it's moved from Fountain Square to Sawyer Point, which is a much larger park. It's near the river, blah, blah, blah. It's big, big, big to do. There are still people now to this day that still feel that because you're not making the, you know, six figure or whatever, that you're not being represented. The chorus, the Cincinnati Men's Chorus, this year is in regards to Pride, we're holding a joint fundraiser, a tea dance on Sunday after Pride. It's going to be at a private location. It's announced when you get the ticket, when you buy the ticket. I know where it is because the chorus is doing it. There's going to be, you know, guys, you know, muscle boys in, you know, little skimpy, you know, swimsuits. It's going to be at, it has a pool. So there's going to be a DJ. There's going to be a DJ and an open bar for 3 hours. You know, it's this big to do. The tickets are $50. And for some reason, whatever reason, we're getting flack about, you know, you're exploiting the, you know, the gays and you're being really, like, people can't always afford this, and you're only catering to the gays that can afford it. And the same thing happened a few years ago when Pride had this Equinox Ball, which was an entertainer. I don't know if it was a open bar. I think it may have been cash bar, but it was this, you know, it was going to be this sort of private celebration, raising money for Pride, blah, blah, blah. But also, you know, it was a very expensive event. It was like $50 or something like that as well. And there was all this flack about, like, it's costing too much. It, you know, you shouldn't have the, you know, Pride should be free and open to everyone and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, why are you treating your gays so, you know, poorly? Because they're not everyone can afford this shit. And I, in my head, I understood where those people were coming from, but my reality was like, just because you can't afford it doesn't mean we are excluding you. It's an event that is, yes, a part of Pride, where you have a whole big ass festival that is free and open to the public that is all day, and you can go and celebrate and get your gay on, you know, You know, there's a parade, there's a festival, there's all this stuff. These are events that are either raising money for the Pride for next year so that you can then next year go and do your, you know, the festival and all that stuff. It keeps the festival free as opposed to you having to pay to attend the festival or pay to attend a parade or whatever. You know, it's and I don't think people understand and grasp that situation.
Yeah, it's hard because, I mean, I think it's a reflection of the bigger societal, like, have and have nots issue. Like, those that have money versus those that don't. Those that have disposable income versus those that don't have as much. You know, can they afford to travel to do this thing? You know, who can take vacations? Who can do this stuff? And while I understand that there are some that are like, well, Pride should be free. And it's like, well, it can be, but you have to realize there's just limitations with that. There comes a certain point where it can no longer be free due to X cost factor.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, you have to kind of like make a decision on how you're going to pay for something. So
yeah.
I think like these chamber groups or organizations like the Delta Foundation or whatever, they'll say, yes, you may not like the fact that Coors Light and Bud Light and all these major corporations are like in our pockets, quote unquote, by like all this advertising and promotion and that kind of stuff. But guess what? They help pay for this thing to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you can't book Iggy Azalea or Nick Jonas, for example, or us. We're doing, I believe, Betty Who. I forget who we have. We have a modern headliner for our Pride Festival. Someone who has released music within the last year is sort of the big thing. But you can't book entertainment like that for free unless you happen to find someone who is willing to donate their services, blah, blah, blah. And that's very hard to come by. You can't pay to rent the space for the event that you're hosting without having to pay something down or without getting sponsors. You can't have things ready and printed out and a website to, you know, hosting a website and this, that, and the other without some kind of cost involved. And in order to get those costs, you either have to get sponsors, corporate sponsors, you know, individual sponsors, whatnot, or you have to have these events that raise money for your pride. And that's how it stays, you know, free, quote unquote. I remember going to Pride in Columbus one year and you had to pay, $5 or $10. I think it was $5. And you got this nifty little ID, like dog tag, and you know, you got into Pride and you could go everywhere, blah, 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 blah. Didn't really give you anything special, but it was just a little bit of money. And it felt off-putting at first, but then I realized that the reason for that is because either, you know, they needed the money to pay for this entertainer, to host this play, to do all these things that made it so that we could have the Pride Festival to begin with.
Yeah, and that's, I guess it comes down to kind of two things. One of the things I teach in sales principles is people are willing to pay any price for something if they see the value in it.
Yeah.
So you really have to figure out where the value, you know, proposition is. When have you crossed a threshold that people are no longer willing to pay for something? And that's kind of what we're talking about here is, you know, I made the decision that I just didn't feel like I needed any of those things or wanted them bad enough that I was going to stop and buy something. And sometimes I guess that's what they say, like the free market, like kind of works itself out. Do you know what I mean? Like in the end, if people don't like it, they don't buy it. And then guess what? You just don't get to make it anymore.
Yeah.
So I think it is a bit of a toss up because, you know, that I think that happens within the bear community as well, is that there's, you know, discussions about, like I was just seeing a chat this morning and someone was asked if they were going to, Bear Pride or not Bear Pride, Bear Week in Provincetown. And the individual said, no, it's too pricey. Like I can't afford to, plus I don't have the luxury of planning 1 year in advance, you know, to be able to find a townhouse or a condo to rent and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And some people might say it's the same thing that we're talking about, is, you know, it's the haves and have nots. Like, who has the disposable income to afford the travel to get to P-Town, to have the place for a week? You know what I mean? Plus all the other expenses that go with it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's sort of a mixed bag, and that's why I think some events work better than others. Like our Pride here in Erie, it's a picnic and it's free. We don't charge for it. You know, the local Pride organization has fundraising throughout the year to be able to afford to put on the event. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what do they call it? I forget. Honorary consultant. Anyways, I'm not officially on the board, but, you know, I get all the meeting notes and stuff, and I'm welcome to attend any of the board meetings and just kind of consult with them about stuff, about what they want to do. And so they've done different things over the years. You know, they've had they've hosted drag bingo. They've done, you know, candidate forums. They've had bake sales. I mean, they've just done different stuff to either draw attention to bring the community together and or raise money. And sometimes it goes over and sometimes it doesn't. And I think you're bringing up a good point about, you know, there's a reason why things are done a certain way, and it's more helpful to understand why it's done that way than to just kind of complain about it.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a happy Pride. Like, as a country where we are able to celebrate this as open as we can, ultimately, you know, as open and free that we are, that as we are, it puts I'm putting it in that perspective. Like, if I don't want to go to Pride, I don't have to go to Pride, but Pride will still happen. You know, people will still be there. The parade will still happen. There'll be a lot of cheering. There'll be a lot of, you know, nearly naked men running around. There'll be women running around, you know, nearly naked and blah, blah, blah. And there'll be, like, you know, rainbows and glitter and all that fun shit. It'll happen whether I'm there or not. And the good thing is that it can still happen.
Yeah, you know? I think, you know, it's just a matter of perspective about what an individual wants. And I mean, this is also something that I discussed, I don't know if it was with Hadrian and Bailey. It might have been over dinner. I was discussing about the fact that there will come a day, unknown, but maybe in like the next 20, 30, 40 years, when like bear pride, gay pride, like a lot of this stuff kind of diminishes because we've attained the equality. Do you know what I mean? That we've spent decades as a community protesting, rioting, parading, mm-hmm. you know, voting, whatever you want to call it, assembly, you know, that I think it will sort of diminish. And it was an interesting conversation. I think it was with them. If not, it was with someone else. And they were like, well, what do you mean? And I was like, well, look at like Irish pride or Italian American pride, or, you know, like these things have kind of faded from the calendar and from the community basis that they just don't have as many events and that kind of stuff. You know, yeah. And I think that that's bound to happen at a certain point. And I'm not saying that the bear community will disappear altogether. I think there will always be a want or a need for brotherhood and for that aspect of things. But I could see that over time, you know, that as someone said in the past year, they see bear runs becoming more commercial. And they're predicted like in another 5 years, they'll only be put on by corporations. That the nonprofit social groups will fade away and be unable to compete because the events will get bigger and bigger and more people will want to attend. And the only way you can be successful with that model is to have an organization that matches that, quote unquote. I think it's an interesting proposition. I'm not saying they're wrong, but I think the crystal ball is too foggy to determine how accurate that is.
Yeah. As we move forward with things like marriage equality and all those things, we will, it'll definitely put things in perspective. We'll start seeing. I totally agree that it will happen. And there could come a time where we won't have those prides. But until then, get out and celebrate.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's one of the things, you know, as a kind of a checking in on the state of the nation thing, you know, it's 2015, it's Pride. Like we were saying, it's the 46th anniversary for Stonewall, and we're at this stage where it's like, but what have we attained? Well, you know, this past year was very tumultuous, and you know, laws passed on like state and city, municipality kind of levels. You know, the adoption laws are kind of the new frontier. I mean, I know we talk a lot about marriage equality, and I'll own that we're still waiting, as of when we're recording, for the Supreme Court to decide in the four cases that are there. Like we briefly discussed with Tom last week in our Father's Day show, you know, it's like the Supreme Court basically has three proposed directions they could go. Everyone's kind of hoping for option which number one, which is they basically say that marriage is a right across the nation, regardless of where you live.
Yeah.
And that'll just basically kind of blow up everything. but it'll, like Tom was explaining to us, it also miraculously changes a lot of things, especially when it comes to adoption, because some states limit adoption based on a recognized marriage. And if they don't recognize your marriage, then that causes another hurdle.
Yeah.
And I never really thought about that or knew that before. You know, so Michigan's thing recently where only adoption agent, where adoption agencies are now legally allowed to decline adoption to a same gendered couple because of religious reasons. While in principle, I get it. We're basically saying that a spiritual group has the right to decline being forced to do something that's against their principles. I think it's being pushed beyond that. And that's kind of no different than, you know, what like Pence did in Indiana and all the rest of the kind of stuff that's been happening. So it's unfortunate. And I think this just is another indication of how, while we feel that we've made all these advances, we still have much more to do. Mm. There's more things to be done. And just like, you know, Bailey and Hadrian and I were in agreement, the next 20 to 30 years, probably not quite that far, but at least maybe another 15 to 20 years is going to be about the trans community. You know, they've gained a lot more awareness in the past year to 2 years between celebrities that are transitioning and documentaries and now television shows and miniseries. And, you know, so it's getting out there. To me, it's no different than any other group that wants not only recognition, but just, I don't know, to live their lives equally without, you know, being persecuted or treated differently. So I think that'll be interesting to see where things come out in the end. And who knows, by the time this posts, within 24 hours of this posting or prior to it posting, the Supreme Court might make their decision and we might have a whole new situation we're dealing with.
Interesting.
We shall see.
That being said, why don't we get back to the stuff that we really like to talk about?
I'm assuming because I don't think you really talked about the middle thing there.
Move on.
We're skipping that? Okay.
Yeah.
Go on here. Stuffed and hot.
Oh, God. Now I need to see this.
It's our fiery biscuits.
Oh, yay.
He's lying in the couch. He's got his shirt up over his belly, and it's like, I'm stuffed. I'm full. And as we go along, he removes clothing, changes position to be stuffed, and it's completely naked. I said, I can help stuff you some more, cutie.
Wink. It's actually a really cute picture series.
Yeah, and there's more. I believe I found the I reblogged yesterday the other half of that.
There's another half of it?
I believe.
Sure.
Maybe it was another one. He posted a lot of pictures.
I swear it was like the last thing I saw.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's hot, and yeah, I would be happy to.
Oh no! This is actually the second half.
Yeah, there was more.
I knew there was another one where he's like gaming, and then he lifts up his shirt to show his belly. But that's about it.
But anyway, it's no big deal. He's got blah blah blah. You know, he's hot. It's fucking hot.
Exactly.
Fuck it. He's
there's hot. There's a reason he's on our pedestal.
Yeah. Anyway, just I need to stop.
But if he needs to get stuff some more, I'll help him out with that.
Yeah.
We'll different type help. Of stuffing, but still.
I would say we all help, but in our own ways. In our own ways. Okay, anyway.
Damon.
White harness cubby cuteness is mine. As soon as it loads, a nice cute little cub. Wearing a white, I hope, I believe leather, if not, you know, pleather or something like that. It's leather, okay. A white leather harness, which is nice in and of itself, but the guy wearing the harness is cute as well.
He's adorable.
Texas Gamer Cub, I believe, is who this is. So, yeah, but yeah, he's...
And then perhaps Jeffrey needs to find out where he lives. In the great big country of Texas.
That's all right.
But he's adorable, and it's a cute little... it's a cute harness and a cute little pair of underwear, and yeah.
He's cute. He's adorable.
He's cute. I don't know how I feel about the white harness. I like it, but I don't know if it works for you.
It's a sort of thing.
I think I don't know how else to say this. I think it depends on your skin tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not hating it, but I don't know how it works on you. But that's okay. You're cute.
in the end, it's all good.
Yeah.
That basically sounded like, I'm giving you a pass because you're cute, and that's totally acceptable in my book.
Essentially.
That's pretty much what I just said. I'm not going to unlock it at all.
Uh-huh.
Well, he's cute. Look at him. Look at him.
I did. He is cute. I'm not denying that.
Okay. So, your turn, Gary.
This one was captioned at some point in the reblogging process as beautiful. I will admit, I wish that the image quality was crisper.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little fuzzy, so it almost makes me think that it was taken with a non-digital camera.
Hmm.
A low-res digital camera at some point in the past. It's hard to say.
Low-res digital, I think, is more like it.
Yeah. So I searched through my archive to find a picture that I thought might tie to what we were discussing, and this was the closest I found. So the reason I picked it was because he's wearing rainbow-colored socks.
Ooh.
If you bother to scroll down and pay attention, you will see.
I know, this. Right?
He's wearing rainbow-colored socks. But
I kind of got stopped on that ass, though. I'm just...
Oh, I know. Trust, because I was like, well, there's a reason I reblogged it, and that's because...
Was it because of the rainbow socks?
It was not because of the rainbow socks. All.
It was because of that big, beautiful, juicy ass. That's framed very nicely in a jock strap that has blue straps. Can't see the front of it, but that's okay because, you know.
Because maybe it's blue. I believe Poppy, an underwear brand, has a rainbow jock where the either the strap that goes around the waist is rainbow colored or the actual pouch is rainbow colored. And I believe it has the blue stripe, the purple stripes. I mean, so that could be a purple. Anyway, it could be that one. It could be totally just a blue jock or whatever. I don't fucking care. That ass though. that's all that kind of matters right now.
And see, this ties back to my earlier pick from, what was it, like 2 weeks ago with Phillip's new single, Thick Thighs.
Thick Thighs, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thick Thighs make the dick rise.
Just want to boom, boom, boom.
What does that thing say that people keep posting on Facebook and Tumblr? Bite marks are how you mark your territory.
Nice.
Better than peeing on them. Unless you're into that sort of thing.
I would totally chew that ass in those thighs. That's just...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He should be retitled Nom Nom Nom. I think that's...
Nom Nom Nom.
There we go. Yeah. Moving on to something that's less porny. So today I woke up, I was kind of hungry, and I didn't feel like making anything. So I decided, oh, hey, I heard that like new Taco Bell breakfast is actually not that bad. But I'm like, I haven't really seen their breakfast menu. So I'm like, huh, I wonder if there's an app for that. Mm-hmm. Well, there is, the Taco Bell app.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a problem.
Okay, why?
It is so easy to order and pay for your order, and then you just go to the place and you just pick it up and then you leave. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to like stay there or anything.
Uh-oh.
Stand around. So it's like, so I'm like, oh, I'll try this AM Crunchwrap with the sausage Crunchwrap, and I'll get a nice coffee and some of the Cinnabon things with the meal thing.
Yeah.
And then it goes, okay, check out. Check out. Okay. Scan your credit card. Boop. Oh, it's got the number. Just need to put in the other vital information and hit submit. And I'm like, wow. So then I drive over to Whataburger.
Okay.
That's a joke.
I was like, what?
I drive over to Whataburger. The person is standing by the register. What would you like? And I'm like, I ordered online. I'm just waiting for my food. And she's like, oh, that's Taco Bell. They're across the street. This is Whataburger. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Damn it, you.
So I go across the street. I walk in. No one's there except for me. And a lady with, well, two ladies, but one lady with a bag, and said, this must be yours. And I walked right on out.
No way.
Wait a minute. Okay, did you seriously go to Whataburger?
I went to Whataburger first. It is literally right across the street. I didn't order anything. I just went to the wrong place.
Now, let me clarify before people start hating. I have had Whataburger when I've been in the South. I like Whataburger, so don't be thinking like I'm hating on that. I'm just dumbfounded that you went to Whataburger instead of Taco Bell when you ordered through Taco Bell.
They're right across the street. I just turned too early.
Yes, but one is Mexican and one is not.
Hey, Whataburger has taquitos.
One of them imitates being Mexican.
I was going to say, wait a minute. Taco Bell is not Mexican. Anyway, yeah. But no. I get it.
So in some sense, I actually had one of these.
Totally. Yep. Did.
Yeah. So. Yep. There's an app for Taco Bell on both iOS and Android.
Oh, my God.
I didn't bother to look up Windows Phone because we use Windows Phone right now.
You're doomed.
And it's... Oh,
my God.
Yeah, did you get it?
No. I'm sitting here thinking about it. I'm going, if this starts, like, you know, blowing up and other restaurants start doing it, I'm fucked.
Oh, like, yeah, we totally are. I've been using the Taco Bell app for like months. The boys and I have been using it. And okay, so here's a little tip for everybody. If let's say the three of us are together in the same place at the same time.
Everybody
right?
Open up your Taco Bell app.
So let's say, well, you don't have to open that, but let's say that Damon, Jeffrey, and I, all three of us are in the same place at the same time and we want to get Taco Bell. Let's say Damon's like, I'll put it in my app, and he enters the whole order and tells me to go pick it up. It won't work because the app is GPS tied to your mobile device, and it won't – even though Damon says I'm there to pick it up, meaning like on the app it says, you know, are you doing drive-thru or are you doing walk-in? And he says, you know, drive-thru or walk-in. And then I pull up and I say I have an app order for Damon or whatever. It won't be in their system because it will not have sent because you're not – technically physically close to the location. As we found out, because Vince put it into his phone, had the whole thing entered, like I believe paid for it, and I showed up to pick it up and it wasn't in their system. They said it didn't exist and so on and so forth.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of a big pain in the butt. So we've learned that while they're working, if I stop and get Taco Bell, like I ask them what they want, I put it in my app. It goes in as my order, bills me, and then I'm able to pick it up in person, and then I can just – they reimburse me. So
it still works, but it's
You walk in, you pick up the food.
Now, that's it. I haven't done a walk-in. I've always done it late at night and it's drive-through only. And in Erie, notably, the stores were a little slow on the uptake to get used to the app because basically you just – when you arrive at the location, if the app is still open, it says, oh, looks like you're nearby. Tell us. Do you want to drive through or walk in? Like, and you tell it, and then, you know, you do either the walk-in or the drive-through. But when you go to the drive-through, you have to tell them, I have a mobile order for Gary. And then they look it up in the system. And what I've realized is even though it's instantaneous on the phone, you need to give them probably a good 120 seconds, like 2 minutes, for it to appear in their system. So, like, if you're pulling literally into the drive-thru and you say, I'm at drive-thru, it might take, like, another minute or two before they're actually able to find it. So I've learned to, like, do it from, like, a building or two away.
So this is probably good that I went to Whataburger first, because it was right across. My phone's like, oh, hey, you're right next to Taco Bell. Here's the order for the place that had it all going. And the only reason why they were like, this must be yours, was because I was the only person there.
Oh my God.
This was like at 7:30 in the morning.
Like I said,
you have to take the phone that was ordered on with you.
Correct. Now, the other thing to also know is that the more you use the app, it also keeps your last orders, so you can reorder your last order very easily. And they're doing promotions within the app. So about two or three times now, I've gotten 10% off my purchase by using the mobile app.
Do I want this app?
So you have to pay attention in the offer. There's an offer section, and then they have like 10% off or free chips or whatever. Like, it's a way to keep you using the app.
Yeah. I'm gonna
So I'm gonna now, if you haven't used the Taco Bell mobile app, just be prepared for it to, like, kind of, you know, conveniently take over your diet and pocketbook.
Yeah. I'm gonna set it down. I'm not gonna put it on my phone.
Put it on your phone, it's worth it. And I will tell you this.
Damon, you could have chalupas anytime you want them.
That's the problem. That's the fucking problem. Hey, it's 2 o'clock, or it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Wait a minute. They have Doritos cheesy gordita crunches?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Cheesy gordita crunch.
Well, now the new thing that they came out with. Yeah, and by the way, if anyone was interested, Crunch Wraps overall are kind of gone for the most part, which is kind of pissing me off, but that's
not entirely. They've got AM Crunch Wraps, which are awesome.
Yeah, they have like one for the morning and like one Cantina Power one or something. Anyways, they only have like two. They used to have like six or seven. But now the new thing is this stuffed nacho thing. They basically take a tortilla. They put down a whole bunch of Doritos. They put the stuff on top of it, and then they wrap it in the shape of a huge ass triangle. It's kind of,
oh my God.
Yeah, it's
anyway,
it's not worth it, honestly.
I am going to refrain from the Taco Bell app today.
Today.
Tomorrow is a whole other story.
Because the good thing for me right now is, as far as I know, and granted, I haven't explored my neighborhood fully yet, there's not a Taco Bell near me. However,
here's, you know what? The app can tell you.
I know. That's the problem. Set up. I don't know.
My bell.
I don't want to know. Anyway, let's move right along. Yeah, let's go into picks. Yeah,
That's where we are.
Oh,
my right. Pick is the Taco Bell app.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so I go into mine. There we go. Taco Bell app. So, if you've been hearing on the news recently, as I mentioned earlier today, there's a woman in Baltimore who put a rainbow garden, you know, light thing in her garden, and she got a very negative response. I have two links there. My first is the Huffington Post Tumblr post, and then the second one is the Baltimore Sun article about this. And I'm loving that we're going to coin a new phrase, relentlessly gay. But the woman pretty much has vowed to. She got a very negative letter from a concerned neighbor, basically stating that her home is becoming relentlessly gay, and because it's they're Christians and children in the area, they want her to tone it down, quote unquote. This was sort of my idea. The reason I wanted to first bring this up was the whole idea behind the whole, everything rainbow is automatically gay. Mm-hmm. This woman put a rainbow garden thing in her yard, and the lanterns, quote unquote, the little jars, one of them spells out love and one of them spells out Ohana, which means family. And it is rainbow colored. Yes. I don't know this woman. I don't know if she's gay. I don't care if she's gay or lesbian or whatever. What I've read is that she owns the house and she has a family and she just wanted to put this out there and it's her home and she has a right to do with her neighborhood kind of what she wants to do with it, blah, blah, blah. You just have to be, understand certain things. But
right. It basically kind of my understanding is it was just this like kind of DIY yard craft project.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thing where she was like, oh, I want to put these colorful little lanterns out that I think operate off of a solar thing that light up at night or whatever, like little twinkle lights. And notably, there's like multiple rainbow sets of these jars, but they're not technically the gay pride colors as we were discussing earlier.
Yeah. And even so, if they were, whatever. But so she essentially was like, I want to make my yard gayer because, fuck you guys. Fuck these people who are hating on it. So she put out a GoFundMe campaign and I meant to go check it before I left. But this link doesn't work. Fuck that shit. The Huffington Post article does not have the right link to the page. Let's see if the Baltimore article does. But anyway, the article, she put a GoFundMe page, and when I looked, it had made like three or four times what it was she was asking for in like the first day.
Right.
So she's going to gay the fuck up out of her garden. As of Thursday evening, the amount raised by the GoFundMe campaign was more than $26,000. Nice. Wow. It's just I don't get where this concerned homeowner came from, blah blah blah. I gotta give her ball credit for putting this out there. Granted, she was anonymous. He or she was anonymous and everything, and I love her. Your kind need to have respect for God. Bullshit. I don't see anything wrong with this garden, this display, and I don't see anything wrong with it as a now homeowner, and I don't see anything wrong with it as a gay person. I don't see anything wrong with it as a Christian person. It is a decoration that, maybe a little gaudy, but it's.
So are they saying that just because it's a rainbow, it means that it's gay?
Yep.
That's pretty much what they're saying.
So are you saying that no one should have anything rainbow bright?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. So, those clear aurora borealis crystals that shoot rainbows when the sunlight hits them, gone. Take them out.
I mean, so what's happening after a rainstorm and the sun comes out and you have this nice big rainbow across the sky? Oh my God, it's the attack of the gays!
Yep.
Oh my God, exactly. Because it's God, if you believe, that made that. So
yeah, yeah. Anyway, so I'm happy that people have been very supportive. I read like all the little like comments that people were making on the GoFundMe page. I'm really, really freaking happy. Like there are people talking about, I will come down. I'm a you know, contractor or a painter, and I will paint your home, you know, rainbow colors. You know, all you need to do is buy me the paint. You know, it's, you know,
give me the paint and I'll just do the work for you.
Yeah.
You don't pay me or anything.
Yay. I love. Yeah. Julie Baker, the rainbow garden owner, isn't planning on redecorating. In fact, she's launched an online fundraiser to make her yard even more colorful and pro-equality. Go you, Miss Julie Baker. Or Mrs. Yay. Julie.
Yeah. I think she just kind of got pissed. She was like, who the fuck do you think you are to send me this anonymous letter saying that my yard is too gay?
Fine, I'll just make it more rainbowy. And if you right. consider that to be more gay, F you.
Right. I really think that's what it came down to. She was basically like, oh, you think this is gay? Bitch, you ain't seen gay yet.
You ain't, I'll give you gay.
I ain't seen nothing yet.
You ain't seen nothing yet.
Mm-hmm. And she's going to, and she, like you said, she's going to, there, I mean, that was the thing. Like, there are people like I want to paint your house. I want to build this. I want to do this, that. And I'm like, okay.
Sure.
Go for it.
All right. Holy Gary, what do you got?
I have something that is pride, something that is bear, and something that's adorable.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
If you have not seen this yet, James Corden, who is now the host of The Late Late Show, he went to LA Pride recently and he taped an entire segment where he was trying to get individuals at LA Pride to agree that they will vote for him to become the Grand Marshal in 2016.
Huh.
LA Pride. Now, the reason why this is important to watch is because he does this entire segment about bears.
Oh, yeah.
And if you watch it, I personally recognized about 5 of the 8 bears that he plays musical chairs with.
Uh-oh.
I don't know them, but I think some of them are Tumblr famous or just famous because they're photogenic or whatever. So I'm not going to accuse the television show of planting people, but I am going to say that if you watch the way it's edited, it definitely doesn't seem quite as impromptu as it
was meant to be.
I think they picked people to participate in this thing, huh. It's really cute. James is there. He finds out that he's a bear cub and he sort of hits on the organizer of LA Pride. Okay.
I'm going to have to look at this because I've seen the whole thing.
He's adorable.
Yeah. James Corden is very, you know, adorable.
Yeah, he's adorable. It's cute. It's fun. And I'm fully supportive of him being the marshal for LA Pride next year, even though I don't live there or have anything to do with it. So,
yeah. Oh.
So, yeah.
We're going to have to go and see how this goes. I'm going to have to look at this.
All those beers are adorable.
Oh.
Yeah, they're all different kinds of bears, too. Like, so they're not necessarily, you know, all traditional.
So I want to see this now. I will watch it.
Adorbs. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do it. That's it. That's the end. 107 minutes.
Hoo-hoo-hoo.
Anyways, contact us. You can pop over to CubsOutLoud.com. Shoot us an email at CubsOutLoud@gmail.com. Oh, yeah. You can also leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show. You can call us at 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255 for those who don't see letters on their keypad.
Basically, call us. Leave a dirty message. We want to hear you.
Oh, God. Please call.
Just like the iTunes reviews, we'll play it on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you say. You don't even have to leave your name. Talk to your dirty to us.
This is a challenge on Fire 40. I'm just saying.
But we'll know it's him because.
In fact, okay. All of our pedestal gentlemen, you are welcome to call in.
Fiery Biscuits, Mr. Hooper.
God. If Mr. Hooper calls, I will.
Chess, Matt, all of you. Give it. Leave a dirty message on 361-COL-TALK. That's 361-265-8255. You can pop over to Facebook, facebook.com/CubsOutLoud. There's also the COL Entourage, which we really haven't done anything with. We really should do something, but that's beside the point. You can also see any of our Tumblr pics or anything randomly that Damon reblogs on our Tumblr at cubsoutloud.tumblr.com. Yep. Follow us at Twitter, twitter.com/cubsoutloud, Google Plus at google.com/cubsoutloud. You can please pop over to bearunderground.net and join the COL group there. Say hello. You know, all these groups, they're for you. So you can chat about whatever you want. We just have the right to steal the topic. pop over to iTunes, leave us a review, give us 5-star, 4-star, whatever. I don't care. The more you rate and review, the more people will actually see our shining little faces. Well,
yay.
Or our logo and listen to the podcast, one of the two. You can also go over to Stitcher Radio. You give us thumbs up there, leave a review. We appreciate that very much as well. You can find me anywhere on the internet. It says Box Set, Box Puppy, Box Cub, Box, something or other.
I am Theater Cub 79 on Bear 41, Bear Underground, Tumblr, and HeffyNet, and currently Nomad Cub on FetLife.
And I can be pretty much found anywhere on the web under GearBear73.
And with that, see you there, everybody! Good night!
Have a good one, y'all.
I've been fishing this whole time.
What have you been? What? Fishing?
Fishing, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Mm. Ah. Fishing for what? I'm so confused.
Fire Ammonite and some crescent saber fish. And you make food for raid tonight.
Ah. Fishing is on, is a, what's it called, thing? Wow thing.
I thought you meant like P-H-I-S-H-I-N.
No.
Wow.
I was like, really?
Fishing. Actual fish and tentacle monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'll stop recording.